I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Everyone has been instructed that if they see worship services going on, they will go to the officials of that congregation. They'll inform them they need to stop the services and disperse. If that does not happen, they will take additional action up to the point of fines and potentially closing the building permanently.
That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio talking about the consequences there in his city for those who continue to meet at houses of worship. Well, many feared it would come to something like this, a shelter-in-place order that becomes something more serious, and then the consequences would follow. How should Christians respond to these orders that are asking us to stay home, that are asking us to limit the number of people we gather with, or perhaps even saying that we shouldn't be gathering with anyone as far as we can possibly do? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, March the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about that very question with Mark Stern, a Lutheran layman and attorney in Chicago, for the first few minutes of the program. Tom Baker joins us after that to teach a Sunday school lesson on the crucifixion of Jesus in Matthew chapter 27. Joseph the Patriarch will be the subject of our conversation with Dr. Kevin Golden. And then Mark Hemingway is going to respond to a New York Times op-ed titled, "The Religious Right's Hostility to Science is Crippling Our Coronavirus Response." Joining us to talk about religious worship services, the U.S. Constitution, and the coronavirus, Mark Stern, a Lutheran layman and attorney in Chicago. He's currently serving on the Board of Regents at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
What is your reaction to New York Governor Bill de Blasio's statement about penalizing churches if they gather for worship?
Well, I think it's bothersome that they are singling out churches in particular. The idea about, quote-unquote, shutting them down permanently is certainly overbearing. What I would say is, if someone is subject to a police order, I always encourage people to comply with that. The time to test that is going to be afterward in court. You don't want to be disruptive, and we have to be mindful of our duties to civil government. But the fact that worship is being singled out, whereas other activities, grocery shopping, et cetera, are not, is troubling.
Why is that troubling to you from a legal standpoint?
Well, the First Amendment says that we have the right to free exercise of religion. That does not mean that we could ignore laws that are generally applicable. But what it does mean is the government cannot discriminate in a negative way toward worship or other exercises of religion if they are not doing the same thing on a neutral basis to other types of gatherings.
What is your congregation, the congregation that you attend, what is its plan and way of dealing with the shelter-in-place order in Illinois?
We have been in communication with the local authorities, and they have advised us that we can continue worship if we limit attendance to no more than 10 people per service and take other social distancing measures within the sanctuary itself, and that is what has been done. So we are attempting to work in good faith to comply with what we've been directed to do.
What parts of the U.S. Constitution are in play here, Mark?
Well, both freedom of religion, First Amendment, freedom of exercise of religion, also freedom of association, the right to peaceably gather, would be implicated by this.
Does Scripture speak to this situation in any way?
Well, I'm primarily giving you the law rather than the gospel. I'm not a trained theologian, but the passages I've heard cited are, you know, situations where the apostles were forbidden to preach the gospel altogether. They were told we have to obey God rather than man, but there are also certainly many passages in Scripture which refer to giving honor to the civil authorities that God has allowed to be placed over us. So those things have to be balanced out. And that's a determination that each pastor and congregation is going to have to make on its own in light of the situation that they're facing.
When someone asks if a congregation can still conduct worship services You say that the answer is it depends. What do you mean?
Sure. Well, you have to look at the specific provisions that are applicable to your congregation based on where you're located. There may be more than one order. Some states have orders at the state level and at the local level that are different. Some states have specifically exempted houses of worship. In Michigan, even though churches are still subject to the restrictions, they're not currently subject to any penalty if they violate them. Now, understand, these restrictions are constantly changing, so I'm not familiar with the entire country, and I'm not giving legal advice on a specific situation. But is there an exemption that may apply to a congregation? For example, an argument could be made that a church is an essential business if it is providing spiritual care for its members, and that might fall within a definition of Illinois what's called a human service operation. I can't guarantee that, obviously, but that is an argument that could be made. And in other states, they're simply outright exemptions for a gathering for worship. I do encourage people, though, whatever they're doing, to take the most measures they can, both as to cleanliness, hygiene, social distancing. If someone is not feeling well, please don't go to church, things of that nature. Use common sense in any case in terms of how you're going to handle your worship services.
Using Illinois as an example, because it was one of the first states to have a statewide shelter-in-place order, what does the governor's order currently require?
Well, the governor's order currently allows 23 broad categories of essential businesses to remain open. There are many subcategories within that. So essential businesses are defined as grocery stores, pharmacies, hardware stores, gas stations, banks, and of course, lawyers are always essential. We're specifically carved out. In the less salutary category, abortion clinics and marijuana dispensaries are also exempted. And actually, the very first executive order from the governor dealt solely with extending deadlines for marijuana. So that is apparently the priority. Churches aren't mentioned specifically. As I mentioned, there is an exemption for something called human services operations. That is supposed to be broadly construed. It includes mental health. Supreme Court has certainly said that psychological health is part of that. An argument could be made that the church is necessary. We know that for Lutherans, you have to hold an in-person service in order to receive Christ's body and blood. If I can digress, the CTCR has recently issued an excellent opinion on that, which I commend to your reading. So we would argue on that basis that it's essential for a church to be able to continue operations, to continue to provide the sacraments to its members. If you don't fall within that, the second option, we talked a little bit about free exercise. I believe that free exercise challenges under the First Amendment are not likely to win against a shutdown order. And the reason for that is that you would have to show that the order is being applied on its face in a discriminatory basis. Now, what Mayor de Blasio said certainly would be problematic based on the fact that he's singled out houses of worship, but I have not really seen that in Illinois where there's been a specific attempt thus far to shut down churches. What may work is the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts. We have one in Illinois. They're in about 20 states, and they generally say that governments may not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion, even if it's a law of general applicability that would be allowed under the First Amendment, unless the government shows that it has a compelling interest, and this is the key part, the burden is the least restrictive means of furthering it. So I think everybody's going to agree that stopping a highly contagious disease is going to be a compelling interest. The question is there a less restrictive way for the government to do it? So the government's allowed grocery stores to be open. There may be 50 people in the grocery store, and certainly they're coming into contact with the cashiers in close proximity as they check out. So one might make the argument, well, if a church does social distancing and limits the number of people in the sanctuary, is that a less restrictive way than saying outright you can't have worship services? So that's the way I would get at in Illinois.
What if a church is not exempt in a state or local order?
Well, again, the pastor and the elders are going to have to decide what they want to do and why. And there are a lot of considerations here, not only legal considerations, spiritual considerations, as this kind of caused concern within the congregation, and frankly, public relations concerns as well. There's a lot of hysteria out there right now, And obviously none of our, I hope none of our Missouri Synod churches are doing the things that some of the Pentecostal type churches are doing, where they're basically saying God is going to protect us. We don't have to take any measures at all. I don't think that's what Scripture calls us to do. I think we're supposed to use our God-given intellect and the medical professionals that He's provided for us and use reasonable judgment. So you have to think about that. If you do open and you're told to shut down, again, I've given the advice, follow what the police are telling you to do. If you deal in a reasonable manner and in a polite manner, you can eventually, if you have to, go to court and try to redress these situations. I suspect in most cases, they're simply going to tell you to disperse. They're not going to come in and start arresting people unless people are defying orders of the police that are specifically given to them. And again, I never encourage anybody to do that. But it is possible that some churches may decide, you know, we, as a matter of conscience, we need to provide religious services, the sacraments, divine service for our members. And if so, bear in mind, there may be consequences to doing that. Some of those may get unwound after the current crisis passes, but some may not.
How would you respond to someone who says churches should close completely for the sake of public health and play it on the safe side?
Well, in the legal field, we're about managing risk. So you can certainly say, we're going to shut down the congregation because it's possible somebody might get sick. But if you have services and somebody's coming to the services, they could just as easily get in a car wreck on the way over there and something could happen to them. So we can't in this life avoid risk entirely. God's will is ultimately going to determine what happens. There are very faithful pastors I know that have shut down services altogether, and there are others that are continuing services. And I think that's really up to each congregation to determine. So I don't know that it is necessary because there is no guarantee that any measure that we take is going to extend our life 1 minute longer. That doesn't mean we don't use reasonable precautions, but I don't think that, for me, I wish to receive the body and blood of Christ, and there are congregations that have determined that. On the other hand, it is possible to fast from the sacrament for a period of time, and there are other congregations that have determined that.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, churches should just trust God and continue doing business as usual?
I don't know that that's a responsible way to deal with things. I think we have to be aware of the world around us. We don't let it dominate us, but we take into consideration what is going on. The example would be if the fire code says you can only have 200 people in your church and you're packing in 300 every week, that's not being responsible. That's creating a safety issue. And that's a situation where the government may come in and say, no, you can't operate in that manner. So my encouragement is, insofar as possible, do cooperate, try to be reasonable. And if there's a way in which you can continue doing what you feel is necessary to happen, proclaiming the word and administering the sacraments, even if that requires some restrictions, I encourage people to act in good faith and comply as much as they feel that they can, unless they're being told absolutely you can't do anything and they feel that they need to do that in service to their members and in honoring of God.
Mark Stern is a Lutheran layman and attorney in Chicago. He currently serves on the Board of Regents at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Mark, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Pastor.
Pastor Tom Baker joins us on the other side of the break. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, the crucifixion of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.